Well, it's always great when we get a chance to sit down and talk to a friend of the show. He is David Smoke. You should be watching him every day on YouTube. Sikkim 365 Radio, 365 Sports. Those guys doing a great job. Of course, I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Hit that subscribe button right below the video. And of course, always, we appreciate you being here as a part of the podcast. David, we are in the craziness that is the transfer portal chaos right now. I don't like this for college football one bit. What do you think of what we're living through right now in this sport?
Well, I think this week has been neutered, so to speak, because the big surge was last portal window. And I think there's enough schools that are going through games in the week of practices this week and this weekend where we might not have seen much. Now, I saw with the young defensive tackle or lineman from TCU, we know about Carmoni McLean, and then, of course, the running back from Oregon State, Martinez. But, yeah, I think everybody was, like, ready for this. Oh, clutch your pearls. And it's been a little bit meh, but it's going to pick up because you have until April 30th. There will be a surge, you would think, by the end of the weekend, early into next week. Yeah, you know, I fought this. I did. I mean, I didn't fight the players being paid because that was just a matter of happening.
Yes.
And because of how stupid the NCAA has been, and like they're the IRS, they were never going to budge. And they didn't have to. But when you had those lawsuits, Alston and others, O'Bannon, when they start, those were some dudes now. And really, it might even go back to the early mid-80s when Georgia and Oklahoma challenged the NCAA on where the games could be seen on TV. Pete, it still was something where I was kind of like a cat. When you go pick up a cat, they push back. It just got to the point where I did not want to be. It's not like I don't care what other people think of my opinion. I do and I don't. But I didn't want to be the old man get off my lawn.
No, yeah, absolutely.
But I don't mind the players getting paid. I get the coaches leave all the time. But I still believe that this everything you can do, you can leave as many times as you want. Now, that came down today.
Yeah.
Leave anytime you want. There are no – I still think there was something to a graduate transfer, some young man or woman who had graduated to be able to go. It's like you earn the right to transfer and have you could play right away. Now, like even the first 3 days of this transfer portal window, we have seen – let's say 200 or 300 names. And how many of them, 25%, have already transferred once before? Some of them maybe twice before. There's a guy, the running back from Louisville, Penny, pretty good player. He had just transferred into Louisville earlier in the semester. It's April and he's out. And I just think you, and when I say, I don't know about how it's been for you, whenever I or we on the show bring up guardrails, people say, we're not being fair. Like, it's not American. It's not the – no. There's reasons why there's a speed limit on the highway. Now, I drive. It's like there's suggested numbers, right?
Because yes.
It says 65. Yeah. So, and that's gotten me a couple of times. But there are rules. There's laws. And the NCAA is so stupid. They were so arrogant. And then once the hay got out of the barn, it was no way. Now they can't come up with anything. Now it's like – leave anytime you want. The only thing that I guess has not happened yet is, Pete, you're playing for UL Monroe. No, heck, I'm going to get – you're at Alabama, and you're playing at Alabama, and you want to transfer, and you transfer in, let's say, you're in for the fall semester, and then you want to transfer out at the end of September. The only thing we haven't seen is you could go play for somebody else during that same football season, which I know you would hope that would never happen. But who knows? Everything seems to be, oh, my God, I feel sorry for them. We got to give them all the mulligans they can get.
Listen, everything's on the table right now. You know
yes.
that. I mean, literally, yeah. they're and the whole idea of guardrails, I mean, everything in our lives, drinking has guardrails, driving has guardrails, everything we do has guardrails, apparently, except for college football now, which has none. And I think about it, too, David. Who's going to want to coach? I know the coaches make a ton of money, but
right.
this is getting so out of control. You're seeing college guys leave for the NFL. You're seeing Chip Kelly become a coordinator. they don't want to deal with the management side of this. And I can't really blame them. I just wonder how quickly these coaches are going to start burning out with this system.
Yeah, Craig has always tried to tap the brakes on whether it's a trend yet, because there might be as many players or coaches that go from college, excuse me, into the NFL as assistants or whatever. I don't, yeah. Or the vice versa. But I do think you're going to see that. Maybe that was a sliver of what led Nick Saban doing and leaving, and it was shocking when that came down. Maybe that's Tara Van Dievender at Stanford in women's basketball, which doesn't get as much as far as portal attention. I think you're right. Like I filed my taxes, right? April 15th was coming up earlier this week. I mean, you want to mess with them? Okay. You're going to pay for it. At some point, they're going to find you, and they might even hunt you down, and who knows, put you in a headlock financially. But no, some coaches have, I guess, been able to be flexible. Like there are some you can tell. Like Deion's trying to thrive all this. He's lost a lot. He gets a lot. He'll get him, fill it up again. The point about the transfer portal is when do we ever, I'm by no means anyone who's been perfect. When do we have consequences? That's the word I try to use. Now, someone goes, consequences, yeah, if you shoot somebody, you run over somebody, you speed. But if you transfer, don't we want these young men and women to learn? Like, are they going to learn anything about responsibility? I'm not trying to get too heavy here. Can they learn responsibility, accountability, and consequences if they could just go up and leave anytime they want and as many times as they want? The other part of it is, Pete, it all came with all of this converged at the same time. NIL, transfer portal, which at least at the time they had a little bit of like rules and regulations. The COVID year, remember that?
Oh, what a mess.
That 3 year for just because. And I understand some spring sports got shut down, but why would football players get a COVID year? They played their season. Why would men's basketball or women's basketball, and I'm not trying to like not give people up, why would they get a COVID year? We missed the tournament. We missed what could have been one, none, or maybe anywhere up to six games. It's not like they missed 30 games. We gave them a COVID year. And I'm not trying to be heartless here, although people sometimes think I am. I don't know, man. And coaches can leave whenever they want. Well, yeah, that's also their profession. They're getting paid. Well, now players are getting paid, so they can leave where they want. I'm concerned about managing a roster. If you're a blue blood, Pete, you got all those schools behind you. Texas, you have them upside down. Oklahoma. Those are blue bloods. The other ones want to be, never will be, or might at some point stumble into that, or they might have their surges of pretty good. They're never going to worry about their roster, because if they lose five, they get five that are better. And in fact, might be forcing some out so they can get five that are better. This is only strengthened, not even talking TV revenue, college. It's only given the rich and famous even more.
Yeah. What do you make, David Smoke, of you mentioned NIL. This is all kind of converging at the same time. I wonder when the average fan who's getting soaked for tickets, parking, concessions, merchandise says, you guys keep shaking me down for NIL money. I don't know if this kid is playing a single down, if he's taking a single snap, and you want more of my hard-earned money for these NIL funds. What's the end game here? Is it just going to be down to the big boosters who are going to cut the checks? But I know a lot of fans and fan bases all around the Big 12 who are saying, I'm getting soaked here and I'm getting sick of it.
Well, boosters and donors are too. Not all of them. Some of them have so much money it doesn't matter. But I think some boosters and donors are starting to have conversations with ADs and the foundations and the NIL. Hey, my name's on a building, and now you want me to start contributing $100,000 to $150,000 for a player, or $1 million a year on top of that? And don't think some of these universities aren't going, hey, how can we go back to Bob Smith and ask him for another million or two for us to build yet another facility? And the arms races are there. They're always there as far as facilities. Now, we're not seeing any swimming pools and waterfalls and all that anymore. But, I mean, Baylor on their campus right now, They're building a brand new football, the Fudge Family Football Operations Building that's attached now. That will be a walkway to the indoor facility, which has been increased, lengthened, and beautiful. And then, of course, they have other facilities. There's a lot of people who put money into that, not just the Fudge family, but other donors as well. The brand new Foster Pavilion.
Yeah.
It costs money. And is that going to eventually be hurt because of NIL? Even if a young man goes on to win the Heisman Trophy, if a young man goes on to win a national championship, the egos of the donors and all that, yes, I had a lot to do with that. But they were anyway because of the facilities. My question is a young man who wins the Heisman Trophy playing for your alma mater or who you love or who you want your name on the building, is that worth $50,000 a year, $500,000 a year? Is it worth $1 million a year? I thought you got that kind of return because of the publicity, and now you're spending that to get the publicity.
Yeah, no,
it makes sense. Yeah,
it is just issues out the wazoo. David Smoke is here, of course, Sikkim 365, 365 Sports, doing a great job every afternoon with their YouTube show, which is where you should be catching them.
Thank you.
How close was Scott Drew to actually leaving? Or was this just, you know, I got to get your inside scoop on this with the plane to Kentucky. Did he tell that? Here's what I wonder, and this is my theory. You tell me if this is right or wrong. He sent the family, go check out Lexington. Let me know what you think. They came back. They didn't like it. And he said, fine, we'll stay. Is that the crux of it, or was there more to
it? Well, listen, they are building a beautiful, like several thousand square foot home that's about to be moved into in Waco. His wife, Kelly's an amazing woman. She's not one of those look at me like you have some of these wives that want to be every time they're on TV. And again, I'm not saying they're wrong, but she did not want to leave Waco. In the end, Scott Drew, I think, because of his father, Homer, who was a hell of a basketball coach, his brother, Bryce, who was a really good player with one of the famous shots, but also a heck of a basketball coach. I have always wondered, did they talk to him? And I'm not saying they were trying to get him to leave Baylor, but they say, okay, this is your chance here. This is Kentucky. This is the Alabama of college basketball, so to speak, with all due respect to North Carolina, Kansas, and whoever else. Are you sure that if you say no to this one, you're not going to get that opportunity again? Not at Kentucky and maybe not anywhere else. I never thought he was going to leave. Now, this was not a slam dunk. This was not a slam dunk. I do think that when people were talking about the flight or like there's a flight tracker, my God, the flight tracker on their way to Lexington and people were at the airport, cameras, and he wasn't even on the flight. Then he shows a picture of himself at me, Casitas on Old Hewitt. I think I got that right. I should. It's a famous restaurant now with one of the biggest donors and friends of his. And I wonder if sending his family there was kind of a distraction. Hey, I'm here. No one's thinking about Kelly and the kids. She's on her way to Lexington. Then later on that night, they land. They're back in Waco. Scott's not on the flight. Well, did he take another flight? I never thought Louisville, by the way, was never going to happen. Never. That was crazy. Kentucky was one that you had to go, yeah, you do. And, with all due respect, Kentucky is the bluest of the blue bloods when it comes to men's basketball. Was it close? I don't think so. Was it dicey for a while? I think Mac Rhodes had three numbers on his speed dial sometime last week when that finally came down. I guess what was it, on a late Wednesday night or a Thursday morning?
Yeah.
I think it was maybe I just never thought, as you know, 21 years, the story is been told many times, national champ, like if he had never been able to like dip into the Final Four, win the national title, maybe he feels like this is all you can do. The brand new arena, the Foster Pavilion, which is really beautiful. It's not even finished yet. And they played the last semester there. That's like the arena Scott Drew built. With all due respect to Kim, who went to LSU, she didn't want to play in that. That's the Scott Drew arena. Whether his name's on there, there's a statue. I think we get caught up in that too much. That is his dream. The perfect size for Baylor and the size of Waco. They didn't win all their games there, but that's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. I think it would have been really hard for him to walk away from a place that is his. He doesn't have to. I mean, that is his. He's proven himself. That doesn't mean he better not get past the second round next year. There'll be some people barking. I mean, look what happened to Calipari. But I just never thought he was going to leave. Now, when I went to bed, my daughter got married this past weekend, so I had a lot of things on my mind. But when I got a text about a thread that was in our site, Sikkim365.com, from Ashley Hodge, who's one of the owners. And it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I got this, like, oh, my God. I look at it. When I read that, I knew it was okay, like, for Baylor fans. I would have been happy for Scott no matter what he would have done. I love covering the guy because he's so genuine. People, like, used to not think that way. He's very genuine. And you met him. You know him. But it was – it wasn't a slam dunk, but I tell you what, I never felt like he could say goodbye to Waco. And I know people are like, Waco? This place has a lot more than most people realize. And Baylor and men's basketball has helped be a part of that.
So then who's the biggest rock star in Waco right now? Is it Scott Drew? Is it Chip Gaines? Is it David Smoke? I mean, who is it there?
Okay, no, I'm not by any means. And I can walk pretty much anywhere in Waco. And maybe because of our TV replay at night, there might be somebody. Oh, that's that old guy that does that show at night at 10:30 on the CW. Nationally, Chip and Joanne, obviously, they're rock stars. Yeah. That's what they've done with that and what they've done to put Waco. And the tourism is just like nuts. But Scott Drew is in that conversation. And it just went up. Like, if let's say he was that Chip and Joanna, we know again, like, here's this. I don't know if I've ever told you this. Hope it's not too much. When I moved here in 2010, when I said I'd go off, go cover a Super Bowl, where I'd be on the road, I said, where are you from? I cover Baylor. At the time, it was Baylor, and now it's all over the country. But I'm from Waco. Oh, because Waco had some dark times. Even if some of those dark times didn't happen in Waco, but they had the Baylor men's basketball. And then, of course, the Colt. And then about 2012, when I said I was from Waco, oh, RG3. And then Brittany Griner was a part of that conversation. And then I haven't heard any of that other stuff ever. Right? Like, that doesn't even happen unless people are just stupid. Now, in the last 5 or 6 years, 7, maybe 8, when I go, yeah, I'm from Waco. Hey, have you ever met Chip and Joanna? Yeah, I have, but not really. I've never met them personally, but I think Chip Gaines at a banquet one time. I happened to say hi to him in the back, but that's what it's for. I mean, so Chip and Joanna, they are the rock stars.
They are. Okay. Now, on the football side, Dave Aranda's kind of working through what is a crucial season for him. As we wrap up spring ball here, where is this program at, and what does Dave Aranda need to do in 24 to maintain his job, basically, going into next year and beyond?
Oh, he's got to win, man. I talked about how Scott Drew's this genuine person. He really is. But he will, man, I'm telling you, he's got switchblades in his back pocket to win. I mean, he's gonna do everything he can. Dave Aranda is a genuine person. I don't think he has, butter knife or something like that. Last year was awful, Pete. From the beginning, the loss to Texas State. There were a couple of games that got away from him. In fact, early on against BYU, I don't want to like say he has to get to a bowl game. I think he has to get to a bowl game. I think at least you have to see that there's a pulse. What hurt last year, if you're a Baylor fan or maybe Mac Rhodes or others, the donors and boosters and even players and coaches, is that you never really saw much of a pulse. Last game of the year, they almost knocked off West Virginia, who was really pretty good. I mean, they ended up, what, like 9-4, whatever it was. And they had them, but they just couldn't finish. There were other games they just did not. There was nothing there. I've used this example. When Mack Brown started losing his edge at Texas, he started changing coordinators left and right. Some left for better jobs. Some left because, hey, he had to change. Eventually, you ever seen that Will Smith meme when he's inside of a house? There's no furniture. Yep. There are no people. And he's looking around like, where did everybody go? Eventually, you do that enough with coordinators, you're the only common denominator left. And I think that's where he is. Now, he's taking over more with the defense. Gary Patterson's going to be there as an analyst. They got some youth on that defensive coaching staff. We got to win. They're not built. They didn't build that. How many hundreds of millions of dollars stadium at McLean? They're not building this football ops building, the Fudge family. They're not redoing the indoor to be just some, let's try to get to a bowl game. There's too much at stake. Hundreds of millions of dollars at stake that has already been spent and will still be spent. So I think that Mac Rhodes has never said this. He never said this last year. You better get to a bowl game. I got a feeling. You better be more than just a pulse. I think you better get to a bowl game. And that's not me saying that, again, what they're saying, what Mac might be saying, or Dr. Livingstone or whatever. I got to think you got to win. This is what everybody in those logos and those banners and those, you know, things behind you on the wall, everybody there knows that as a coach, whether it's Joey McGuire, who's had 8-win seasons, but he needs to go and be a part of legitimately into the last weekend of Big 12 competing for the play for the Big 12 title. Sonny Dykes 2 years ago, what a story. Last year they fell down. He can't just go 4-8. Right now, Klieman and obviously Lance Leipold, they're the talk of the town, right? That doesn't mean they can just turn around and start losing. Kalani Sitake had a bad year last year. Matt Campbell was on, not the hot seat, but he had a better year. Neil Brown, it's all about winning. You got to win. Now, do they have to win 6 games, 7 games? I just think they need to be a part of a bowl team and not just like fall into a bowl team. They need to look like a damn football team, play like one. Maybe there's teams that are better, but they've got to go win.
I love it. He is David Smoke, Sikkim 365, 365 Sports. Watch him every afternoon on YouTube. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Make sure you're checking us out. Subscribe and join us every single time we're putting on a show a couple times a week. David, you're the man. Thank you for being here, my friend. We appreciate everything you do.
Pete, appreciate the invitation. Love what you do, too, covering college football, the Big 12, and more. Have a great night.
We appreciate him. David Smoke, we'll talk to you guys soon. Go Big 12.